B-Pod Studios.
You need a firm which can match the other side dollar for dollar. Let us fight for you. There's only one Morgan & Morgan. Dial pound law on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Offices, Philadelphia.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station. Home of 76ers basketball.
Ben Simmons to Joel. Bang! Two-hand jam.
Flyers hockey.
Carter Hart made the save. The bouncy puck still free. Hart's got to make another one.
And Farzetta in the morning.
I feel you.
Plug in.
97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. Now what do we do? What can we do? I think that's a question a lot of people are going to be asking themselves going into this weekend. Do we hang out on the beach? Do we go down to the beach? Bobby, you going down to the beach?
No.
Jamie, you going down to the beach?
I am, but I'm going to be cautious.
What are you doing?
Hoping the beach isn't too crowded so I can go to it.
You need one of them rings that goes around your chair where you sit in the middle and it's 6 feet around you.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anyone actually use those, but I've seen them come up in my Instagram ads.
Yeah, I've seen those.
So I don't know if people want to go out there and purchase those.
Probably be sitting in the house a lot deck.
I figure that's probably what a lot of people should be doing, but because as we've said many times, this hasn't been going so great. This whole, like, you know.
No, we don't follow rules well.
Post-quarantining, I guess.
Yeah.
So, over 100 new cases again yesterday. So, again, just I urge everyone, for everyone's own safety, you go out there, have a good time, and just be as cautious as humanly possible. You know what? Just be cautious. Let's all just be cautious for just a minute. I'll be driving down Baltimore, seeing my wife's family, and that'll happen. And
you haven't seen enough of them, have you?
Well, you know, it's my brother-in-law, who's a good dude, and we hope to go golfing. A little, maybe he'll get some nine holes in.
That's funny you say that. My brother-in-law texted me last night and said, hey, let's hit the course this weekend.
Your brother-in-law from Baltimore?
No, brother-in-law from right around my area.
I was going to say, let's meet up.
Yeah, that would have been perfect. Let's meet in Ocean City, Maryland.
There we go. Right, exactly. But just everyone out there for the 4th of July weekend, have some fun and just try to be as safe as humanly possible. No COVID-19 parties like they had in Tuscaloosa, so let's avoid those. We started out yesterday's program, Bob, by talking about that Ben Simmons fella.
Actually, we started talking chicken and biscuit. Then we got to Ben Simmons.
Yeah, that was the... I like to have an opener, basically, because I don't know if you could tell by now, I still have no idea how to start, talking to people. Like, I don't know how to... I just don't know how you do that.
What do I do with my hands?
So generally, I just kind of... Hey, what's something fun and light that will just kind of be the introductory icebreaker, I guess? Ben Simmons took up a lot of conversation from Brett Brown, as did Joel Embiid. And those are the two main conversation points when we talk about our beloved 76ers. And although I couldn't be more excited about August 1st and getting things underway with the NBA restart, with the resumption of the regular season, kind of, with the 8 games for playoff seeding, and then the actual playoffs starting shortly thereafter, although I'm very excited for that, the excitement I have for the start of play has only made me more agitated about words. What has been said, what will be said. There's more Zoom calls and press conferences that'll happen today. We were just talking about it, Bob, off the air.
Yeah.
Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
We'll address
the media. Looking forward to getting on with these two today, Matisse Thybulle and Al Horford.
Al Horford will be addressing the media as well. But everything they say just makes me crave actual basketball more. And even towards the end of the first half of the season, the pre-shutdown half of the season, I was in the same category. It's not even the layoff that has made me long for games more. Even before, when they had 17 games left in the season and Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19 and the league shut down and sports shortly thereafter shut down, the NCAA tournament was canceled. Even then, I was getting to a point of being sick and tired of potential with the Sixers, because we have been talking about potential for really 7 years that we have gone through the process up until this point. I'm done with it. Like, I just want to see everything come to fruition. And as I said yesterday, and even after listening to Ben Simmons yesterday, it just makes me want to play the games more. It makes me want to follow the games more to see how much closer they can get to reaching their potential, because last year with Jimmy Butler in the lineup and still Tobias Harris being here and a sick Joel Embiid and him fighting through all that and still trying to figure out how it will work with Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons on the court at the same time. Like, that promise looked pretty damn good. Game 7 of the second round of the playoffs, losing to the team that eventually went on to win the championship. And for all the negative stuff we could say about how everything ended, that should have given you more cause for optimism going into this year. All of that kind of still goes out the window for me, because I just want to see them step foot on the basketball court and have everything come to fruition. Not even to the point of winning a championship, although I'll take it. It just to the point where I see guys figure out that spacing better on the court. I see Joel Embiid play not only in-shape basketball, but heady basketball. I see Al Horford coming off the bench and giving you a lot of what he gave you before everything shut down. Granted, it was without Ben Simmons in the lineup, but he did play very well in the time he was coming off the bench, the short period he was coming off the bench, and then when he was back in the starting lineup when Ben Simmons was hurt. I just want to see how it all comes together again. And I think it is going to be extremely interesting and exciting to watch it come together, because I do think we will get a good version of the Sixers basketball team. I don't think it's going to be some train wreck where they can't figure it out. I think we're going to see good, exciting basketball once everything resumes. And Ben Simmons talking about the in-shape stuff, talking about feeling more explosive, adding muscle, feeling 100%, just as his coach said, he's good to go. That's great, but it just makes me more excited and almost like just, I just can't wait for August 1st.
Your excitement is going through the roof, but your anxiety I detect a little bit also. Yeah. You're tired of the talk.
I really am.
And you're
really,
and you're trying to mask it.
No, I am. I'm tired.
But you're tired of the talk.
I will tell you flatly, plainly.
I really think, listening to Ben Simmons yesterday, that he's tired of talking too.
Yeah.
I get him more so than Joel Embiid. I get Ben Simmons being like, yeah, dude, I want this to get to the next level too. Trust me. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of saying, yeah, you know, he said we need to do this, spacing, blah, blah, blah. He just wants to get there and go. And I got that feeling yesterday and listening to everything that he had to say, that he is like, he's at that point too. I just want to shut up and play. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And, you know, the things that these guys are saying, from him to, you know, Brett Brown and other guys that have spoken, I don't know if they all got together and said, look, let's put a real positive attitude on all this stuff or whatever. But even Glenn Robinson III and all, like, these guys really, something happened during this break that they, I think it showcased, here's what I'm trying to get at. I think it showcased the best part of Brett Brown's coaching, and that's his ability to build relationships with the players and the team. And I think with the Alec Burks, with the Glenn Robinson III, other guys that came in late, Shake Milton, these guys, the way Brett can get them together on a Zoom and talk, and what Brett said the other day, we're talking about Black Lives Matter. We're talking about what's going on in society. Mm-hmm. That is a huge part of his coaching. Every month, a player has to get up in front of the team and give a presentation about their life, about something in their life growing up that they don't think other teammates would know about. You know, it was back in the day, Dario Saric talking about civil unrest where he grew up and like enlightening these people. And I remember talking to J.J. Redick. He said, those are some of the best times that we have. I think this time away from each other, although they've been together on Zoom, has maybe brought this team together in a way, like Glenn Robinson III said, they didn't have when they were together, but they've grown it now that they're not together. Mm. So the best part of Brett Brown's coaching may have come during this pandemic. And it sounds weird, but it's that bringing the team together. And I, you know, all these things here, yeah, expect everybody to have a good attitude, but they're all like at a different level. They're all like, we are in a great place. We are doing what they wanted to do. We have bonded tremendously during this time. Maybe they're going there in a better place than they were at the beginning of the season.
I hope so, because
I know
that really lend itself to good basketball. It certainly wouldn't hurt anything if this helped a team bonding period.
And if you come in fat and out of shape, all the stuff I just said doesn't matter.
Right, but and you're also of the belief that we're going to see that the famous jump shot, or lack thereof, from Ben Simmons.
I think he's going to attempt, yes. I do. Whether it's successful or not is another question mark.
But the other part of it is Brett allowing these Zoom calls that we heard Elton Brand talk about. Remember that?
Yeah, like, I think Glenn Robinson III said Tobias Harris has been a great force in keeping the team together. So So
he's the leader of this team. Like, if you're looking to identify a leader, like it or not, like how he plays, inconsistencies or not, the leader on this team is Tobias Harris. And I think a big part of that is because Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons really don't want to do this.
Yeah, and I'm sure Brett, you know, loves the fact that Tobias kind of stepped up into that role.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's, you know, outside of Horford, the vet on the team.
But when will be that Bobby Abreu moment when they move on from Tobias? And granted, I know the deal he signed and the max deal and all that stuff.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's as easy as it sounds.
It's definitely not. But at some point, you think there's going to be a point in time where they have that kind of transition of who's the next leader of this team. But that's a story for another day. I get the sense that all the optimism that has gone into this and those Zoom meetings that have been led by Tobias Harris and pulling all that stuff together over the last couple of months, and Elton Brand coming out and saying, you know, I know the team's meeting, so I know the chemistry's good as far as people talking and having those conversations, but I'm never invited on those. You know, those, they don't want the teacher as part of the classroom meeting.
Maybe it's just like Furkan Comedy Hour. Maybe he tries out his new stand-up bits on the Zoom calls. You know, maybe it's great.
I you know what? That's a podcast I want to listen to.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, yeah. What is it? Jerky, Furky from Turkey, whatever it might be. I'd listen to that. I'd give it a go. If I gave Eurovision a shot yesterday, I would certainly listen to the Furky Comedy Hour.
Yeah.
But it's like all this optimism that goes into it. I listen to it, and I listen to Ben, and I listen to Brett, and I listen to people talking about it, and it's like, oh, they said that. Like, every note has been hit, just like I said yesterday about Brett Brown. There's no note that has been off in anything anyone said about the season's restart. Everyone's optimistic, and you should be optimistic about it. And even at the time when the NBA shut down, the people that wanted to be optimistic even then, and then I wasn't even having it then because we were in the midst, we were just about to start dealing with a pandemic in this country. I just didn't care at that point. We had bigger fish to fry, as they say. But now at this point, people want to talk about the optimistic point of view. And they want to say, oh, well, the shutdown had Ben Simmons get healthy, so you didn't have to miss him. You didn't have to worry about missing him for the playoffs. You now know you have him 100%. The coach has said it. The player himself confirmed it. We're good to go as far as this season, the resumption of this season goes. And now it's gotten to a point, and really, pandemic be damned, shutdown be damned. I remember being like this even with 17 games left in the regular season. I'm done with the conversation. I want to see. It's, again, going back to the analogy of a parent. Don't tell me you're sorry. Show me you're sorry.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how you're improving. Show me that you've improved. That's what I want to see. I want to see Ben Simmons with a more expanded game. I want to see him continue to do all the great things that we don't talk about enough. All the great things that he can do on the basketball court. I want to see it again. Joel Embiid, I want to see him come out and not be lagging behind everybody else and needing, you know, 8 games to get ready for the postseason. I want to see it there, ready to go. I want to see how all this works out around the NBA. I was looking at I can't remember her name for ESPN. She's in the bubble right now.
Okay.
She's an ESPN reporter covering the NBA.
Malika
the
Andrews.
Andrews, thank you. And she was showing off her green wristband yesterday. Like, that's, hey, I'm good. I've been tested. Here's my green wristband.
Huh.
Like, that's what they have given, at least her, and I'm sure they're giving other reporters as well. And they were showing the practice facilities and where they are in these, like, immense hotel.
The floors that came in. Yeah.
The hotel conference rooms.
Yeah, it's weird. It looks like one of those massive AAU tournaments where they just, like, take over a convention center and put, like, 20 courts in.
Can we fit a court here? Is the ceiling at least 20 feet high? All right, we're good. Like, that's what they're doing. And it
kind of, if it wasn't for the whole COVID thing, I think it would be, like, fun. It looks like a giant summer camp.
I made that analogy yesterday. I was like, it's basically camp.
Yeah, you get game rooms and courts everywhere, and you can just,
You're on a campus?
Yeah, go down and shoot some J's during your downtime. I don't know. It sounds kind of fun outside of the whole, you know, pandemic.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah, that little
yeah.
Outside of not being able to see anybody outside of that place. Yeah.
But seeing the actual setup, and seeing the weights that they've flown in and the gyms that they have flown in and two courts kind of like right next to each other. Like, I don't know if they're going to be moved, if they're just in that spot now because no one's there yet.
I guess those are their practice courts.
Yeah.
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 I would assume the same thing, but they're still kind of close.
Hey,
to
Miami, get off Indiana's court. You're over there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you guys are scrimmaging on the Spurs court today, whatever it might be. It's wild. And speaking of the Spurs, DeMar DeRozan, yesterday, just talked about how frustrated he was with the NBA handbook for all this. Like, this is something like a lot of more.
He's like me trying to watch a movie. What do you say? He got through like 10 paragraphs or 10 lines or something? He's like, yeah, I'm
10 done. Lines.
10 lines. I'm done.
DeMar DeRozan reading a book is like me reading a book. All right, I have the same.
Yeah, you're not a fan of that.
No, just
that's all right.
Hand me the information. I don't need it, and just give me the
cliff notes.
Cliff notes. You know what? Produce a documentary on it, and I'll watch it. But he has the same kind of thing that I got. I just like, what am I looking at here? Like, I'm going to need somebody to explain. I'm sure as he's reading it, at the same time he's doing what we're doing, which is picking it apart and asking more questions after every line.
Yeah.
You think us doing this on the radio is any different than any player, referee, reporter that has to go through that same kind of handbook?
God, no.
Absolutely not. They're thinking the same thing. Who do I go to for these questions? And to see some of the first clips of the behind-the-scenes look of the bubble, of the campus, of camp restart for the NBA, it does just make you ask more questions. And like, wait, hold on a second. Those courts are that close to each other, and this is for practice? Okay. I guess space might be at a premium, especially with MLS being right there, and things ain't looking so hot for them either.
God.
But to swing it back, we got plenty of basketball conversation today. 8:30 today, we're going to talk to Keith Pompey from Inquirer.com. 9:30 today, Bob, you pulled some NBA strings. Malik Rose will be joining us at 9:30 today. He just got a new job in the NBA front office. How about that? So Malik Rose, we can talk all things NBA bubble with him. Former Sixers color commentator with NBC Sports Philadelphia, right next to Zoo, as well as Overbrook product. So how about that?
Overbrook, Drexel, local guy done good.
Absolutely. Part of that City 6, as some people might refer to it.
Yeah.
So Malik Rose will join us and talk to us about all things NBA bubble, his new role in the league office. Look forward to having that conversation. We will get into some football conversation today because another person came out in support of Doug Peterson being a top 5 head coach in the NFL, which I agree with. Former Eagles linebacker, former Eagles special teamer, Emmanuel Acho. Now, in case you missed it, Bob hates Doug Peterson. So, yeah. Just like he hates Nick Foles. And he is not for Dougie P in the top 5.
I got him NFL head coach. 7-ish.
Got him 7. Yeah. And that's with some hate. If you didn't hate him, maybe 6.
There's no hate. I don't hate anybody.
I actually heard, Bob, that you corrected.
Except Egan.
I heard you were golfing with Doug Peterson. And you told him, you know, I can tell you what you're doing.
Right foot.
Yeah.
So we'll
I had a dream about that last night.
What?
About telling Jay. We were bowling, though, and he was like following through. And I'm like, dude, move your right foot. And he turned and he went, no. oh, God.
We'll have some fun with that conversation again. Also, the Phillies had supposedly 4 players, according to a report. I believe it was Matt Breen put it out there for Inquirer.com.
Yeah.
Put it out there that Scott Kingery, Hector Neris, Ranger Suarez, and Tommy Hunter were on this magical, mystical list of the skeptical or the mystical injured list.
Is it really a Philly season if Tommy Hunter isn't on the DL? That's what you got to ask yourself.
And the answer to the question is no. I'll answer it for you right now. But supposedly, these players have tested positive for COVID-19. And HIPAA laws and all that, I get it. During the pandemic, when this thing can catch on like wildfire, should this be a more public thing?
Names? I have been on that. Almost called you, dude. I have been on that bandwagon since the six. We found out that 2 Sixers players and 3 people altogether tested positive. Absolutely.
Like, is this the exact? Like, I hate even going in this direction, but I just can't help how I feel, and I feel like COVID-19 pandemic that's going on, the way this thing can spread, I feel like if I'm a player, I'd want to know this. I know we're not allowed into the stadium as fans, but I feel like every other player around the league should know this as well. They're quarantining, they're keeping them away. I just feel like, what does it hurt? Is it a wildly embarrassing thing for a player to?
Not even a little bit.
No.
I haven't understood it from day one. God forbid, like back in, like I said to you before, if somebody gets an autograph from a player and, you know, you might have been social distancing, but you reach out and you give a pen and you find out that player has it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to know names.
I want to know from someone in the know, because I'm asking a question here and I'm telling you how I feel about it. I feel like it's weird that we don't know. I feel like it's weird that, like, I don't want players. Like, one thing I will say about Andy Reid, when he would do the injury thing, he felt like he had the pact with reporters. He even said it in training camp one time. Somebody found out something about a player, and he's like, hey, we had a pact. I'd tell you about the injury so you wouldn't have to go rooting around. Like, I don't want reporters to have to root around. Like, I feel like, especially for other players around the league, this is something that should be known.
Sure.
Like, that's my gut feeling on it. And I'm aware of HIPAA laws and all that. But someone tell me, why shouldn't we know?
Like, yeah, if you're going to do contact tracing anyway.
Yeah.
I think everything should be up front. And like, we just had an incident. One of my good friend's daughters tested positive and had it and was symptomatic. And then, boom, it was, you know, like wildfire in a day. Mm. Families were staying in. You know, we were going to see a family down the shore. They were quarantined for 3 days, the whole family. Wow. He had to tell his extended family, brothers and sisters. They were all tested and quarantined for 3 days. Now, thankfully, everything came back okay and everything was fine, but that's how it is. You know, if somebody keeps it a secret, oh, my son Kyle tested positive, but we're not telling anybody. But he was with all his friends the other day, and they're going to their families, and they're going elsewhere.
Well, there was just
you have to know.
I was just watching the national news last night or the night before, and there was a party. I forget what state it was in, but the big party, one of these super spreader parties, where at least 8 or 9 people from the party got all tested positive, and they're refusing to cooperate. As in,
what?
Say where they've been, where they might have gotten it, who they've come in contact with since. They're refusing to work with the authorities to shed any light on it.
Is this one of the same parties from like Tuscaloosa where they have the pot?
I don't think the goal was to get COVID, but they ended up getting it and then refusing to cooperate.
Like,
so, yeah.
People realize, like, the economy, like, I know that there's been a lot of people that have gotten jobs back. I have the number.
Yeah, it was 4 million, 4.5.
That's good, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, it's probably a lot of people that were, like, furloughed and, you know, getting their jobs back, hopefully.
Yeah, so
it's not like new jobs.
Can we stop messing around with this? Is that just a possibility? Can we do that for a second? 4.8 million jobs have been added since June.
Yeah, it's great.
The unemployment rate is still at, 11.1%, which is, what, 4 percentage points down from what it was?
Yeah.
So that's good, but we still have a long way to go. Now you're messing with people's money. Like, that's what you're doing if you're having COVID spreading parties. So we'll continue that conversation as well. Also, as I mentioned, I did watch Eurovision last night. Jamie, it turns out you watched Eurovision as well.
Yeah, I guess our Netflix remotes synced up in the cosmos last night.
I got 3 good laughs out of it. Like, 3 belly laughs out of it. And for a 2-hour movie, yes, 2-hour movie...
Yeah, I was expecting it to be short and sweet.
Yeah, because it's a comedy.
You just turned me off. I was thinking, all right, that's what I'll do this weekend. You just turned me off.
We'll get into it later.
I'm going to do more Meat Eater.
Hey, did you watch any more yesterday?
Hell yeah.
It's an addictive show.
3 more yesterday.
It's an addictive show. I'm going to tell you my favorite episode, okay? All right, we got Thomas and Easton. He wants to talk about the Sixers starting five. We'll talk about that. We'll also let you hear from Ben Simmons a little bit later in the show. When we come back, we'll jump into that conversation about Ben. And if you're feeling just rosy, we'll get your takes on Ben Simmons when we return here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Just asked me at the break, Jamie, how long, like, about Eurovision. And he's like, I think I'm going to watch that movie with Donna because we got nothing going on this weekend. And my response was, well,
don't.
It's 2 hours. And he goes, do you think I'll like it? Like, seriously, like, do you think I'll like it? And I was like, no. I was like, no.
Absolutely not.
So I'm going to ask you, was it a waste of time to watch it yesterday?
No. Would I recommend it to others? No.
See, that's where we differ on movies. And I'm being honest here.
All right.
It would piss me the hell off if I watched something for 2 hours and I came out with what you guys are saying now. It makes me, like, what time did you watch it? Yes, I was surprised. You were all alone yesterday. Jamie was. Wife and daughter down the shore. And you sat and watched a bad movie for 2 hours.
I'd be
in a bad mood for 5 days.
And then I watched The Shining. So I balanced it out with a great movie.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just wanted a weird combination.
Yeah, it was on.
You're a weird guy.
it wasn't bad. It just wasn't amazing.
Yeah.
It was
you're
average.
Average.
Yeah, it was average. The music was really good in it.
Okay.
It was. You can laugh all you want. Okay, I'm still playing the soundtrack a week later.
Now, you don't have to answer this question
right
now.
You mean you're
right
done
now.
With the Greatest Showman soundtrack?
No, but it is the best music in a movie since The Greatest Showman.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, original soundtrack, oh best movie since Great. Have you seen Greatest Showman, or are you Greatest Showman shaming over here?
I'm not great. I'm just...
Seems like you're Greatest
you
Showman shaming.
Talking about soundtracks.
Well, it was...
Not you guys, Egan.
It was
don't
a,
love
it
you.
Was,
yeah.
You're talking
One
about
man.
The soundtrack of a Will Ferrell movie.
I'm talking about the soundtrack of a movie based on a European singing competition show. So, yet it makes sense. You're soundtrack shaming, and I don't appreciate it.
Do you know who wrote Eurovision? You know, Ghost wrote it.
M. Night Shyamalan. Everybody knows that, Mark.
Everyone's dead the whole movie.
Are you going to act like the music wasn't good, though?
Yes. That's exactly how I'm going to act. Because the music was terrible.
I'll go listen to Frank Sinatra.
And the movie wasn't bad. I will, thank you very much, in my own Rat Pack room. No big deal. But anyway, humble brag. Anyway, so here's the deal. Will Ferrell in the movie, good. Rachel McAdams in the movie, good. I didn't think the movie was terrible. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was enjoyable. Put it that way. I enjoyed it.
All right, you got enjoyable. I don't think Jamie even got that much out of it.
I didn't regret it or anything.
Yeah, I don't regret it.
Does it have to do with the high expectations you had because it's Will Ferrell?
I didn't have high expectations.
No, I like think I knew it was going to be borderline bad.
I expected it to be like a smile throughout. And maybe three belly laughs is not a lot. That's a bad batting average.
I'm seriously getting like a little bit, and I'm not kidding. I'm getting a little bit of anxiety that you guys wasted 2 hours on something that you just said was eh.
No, but okay,
yeah, it wasn't wasted.
But, here's the only reason why I bring it up now is Bob asked me how long do I think he'll make it through the movie?
8 minutes.
I said a half hour because Donna's a part of it.
Okay,
I said it's like 15 minutes of like what is this?
Well, once you hear Yaya Ding Dong, you're kind of hooked.
It's a good point. All right, we'll get into this more.
No,
in a second.
See, Donna, it, she would make it shorter, not longer. Like she sits on the edge of her seat looking at me, going, "Oh my God, when's he gonna give? When's he gonna give? When's he gonna give?" And then I'll give her the look, and she goes, "Okay, you want to watch something else?" And I'll be, right. "Yeah."
Show her Meat Eater. Watch Meat Eater with Donna.
I tried yesterday. I put it on yesterday afternoon because there was like nothing going on, and Jen and her boyfriend were there. I said, "Why don't you guys check this out?" And then they just showed like the beginning, like kind of leading into it. And Jenna, of all people, they're going to kill animals? And I was like, yeah, we won't watch it.
They're going to kill their food.
So I went upstairs and watched the billy goat take it.
The billy goat?
They were up in the mountains.
The mountain, goat.
Were they in Texas for that one? Or it might have been another one.
What, did they look cold?
It was, yeah.
Okay, so yeah.
They got below the snow line is eventually how they kind of...
This conversation.
Oh, it's great.
Let's get to Thomas in Easton. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas, what do you got in the Sixers starting five?
Before I get started, Mark and the boys, how y'all doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
Side note, a lot of times I have a caller crime. I want to give a caller shout out. The 1% being me. Every time y'all have the lovely AJ, not the guy... The lovely AJ Holmes, y'all listening go up 1%. Just want to throw that out there.
Wait. Say that one more time.
The lovely AJ.
Yes.
Every time she opened her mouth, I stop what I'm doing and I'm listening.
Oh, she's top 1% for you, right, Thomas?
Okay. Well, thank you.
Bob might be the smartest man on America right about now. To my Sixers point, Bob, I got a question. Actually, I got two questions. One, selfishly, for my NBA 2 game. Okay, starting lineup, and this is my thought. And I want you to get your perspective. Don't call me crazy, Bob. I actually see no difference in between starting Al Horford and watch this, and starting Matisse Thybulle. If you ask me, they're shooting about the same, man. I don't see no difference in their shooting. But the game has came so much of a quick guard orientation. I think by Horford not doing what we thought he was going to do. I like the quickness of Matisse just to be in there and give me a little bit better defense on the perimeter. And his shot is about the same as Al Horford, so you ain't missing nothing. If you get quicker, then you bring Horford off the bench. You got Shake, you got Burke, and you got Glenn Robinson. To me, you got more firepower way off the bench. But your thoughts, Bob? Thank you, boys.
Yeah, thanks, Thomas. The only mistake I think that Thomas is making is comparing like Thybulle to Horford. You know, don't say like he can do the same things he can do and they can do the, that's not the question. And I kind of agree with you. I don't mind Matisse. Look, Al Horford might become just a backup during this thing. You know, he might get some minutes with Joel Embiid, but Brett Brown said the other day, you're going to have a Joel team, you're going to have an Al team. That doesn't sound like they're going to have a together team. He did say, and then sometimes they will be, but Matisse Thybulle, I think if he can come back and be who he was at the beginning of the season with that defense, that's what you're looking for in playoff basketball. And if you need it, if you have to adjust, I think Matisse Thybulle is one of these specialty guys. If you have to guard perimeter, like say it was 2 years ago against Boston when they didn't do well guarding the perimeter, well then boom, if you're playing a team like that, Matisse Thybulle's getting heavy minutes. If it's a team where you're playing bully ball and that's the way you want to go, well then maybe you're leaning more towards Al Horford. The good thing is, and I think Thomas was alluding to this, they have the ability to go different ways. If it's going to be bully ball, if it's going to be big man ball, Sixers can certainly do it. If it's going to be covering perimeters and stuff like that, now with everybody that they have on this team, they can do that also. So I think the Matisse Thybulles, Shake Milton's probably guaranteed heavy minutes. But the Matisse Thybulles, maybe the Glenn Robinson III, maybe Alec Burks, those guys are going to be specialty players, I think, when the playoffs starts. It's going to be a situational type of thing.
Okay, I agree with that, but I don't agree with it's the same thing as having Horford start as it is to have Matisse Thybulles start.
No, all right.
That's what I was saying.
Okay, like, you can't make that.
I hope the only time we see Al Horford and Joel Embiid together is defensive purposes at
late
the end
game,
of games.
Every last 5 minutes.
Yes, that's all I really want to see, and I hope Brett realizes after 3.5, 4 months of video watching that those two don't really work well together with Ben Simmons on the court.
I've heard people have this debate about Al Horford. Is Al Horford done, or does he not fit?
He's just a smaller role player now.
Yeah, exactly. Like
you paid $108 million.
And even he was shocked by that. How do I know? He told me.
Yeah.
And that's not a joke. He did. But here's the deal. When you look at his numbers leading up to the shutdown, like just under 16 points per game.
Yeah.
And it was like six games. But
he was fine in his role.
Well, yeah, but without Ben Simmons in the lineup, yeah, he was allowed to, you know, have that spacing that he was used to having, you know, prior to joining the Sixers. But he can still play.
Sure.
He was just under 16 points per game. He was averaging around like 8 or 9 rebounds per game. Like, he was still very much a part of the offense, very much part of the team, and still very much showing you that he could play the game. And still, by the way, great defensively.
Yeah, and he almost fits better with a Shake and a Burks and a Robinson because of the spacing that second unit can have without Ben Simmons in it. Well, I think Ben and Al are the two that don't really jive as well as they should.
If you think about the successful NBA playoff teams through the years, they always have that guy, and we know it from watching the Sixers lose to teams. There's a guy that either comes off the bench or is like a fourth or fifth starter that is a pain in the ass type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Boston had it a couple of years ago. Toronto had it. Van Vliet, whatever, whoever it may be, just a guy that you're like, damn, he kills us. Sixers haven't had that. Sixers don't have that guy that either comes off the bench or like that fourth or fifth guy that's like, wow, look at, you know, he puts up those 12, 14 points, but they're killer points. Al Horford could become that.
Oh, absolutely.
Just like he was against the Sixers, but in less minutes.
And you don't win championships without that guy.
No, exactly. Yeah. The other part of it is when you look at Matisse Thybulles, and he's addressing the media today, I'm actually interested to see what he has to say.
Yeah.
I want to know if he gets asked about hitting that famous rookie wall that always gets talked about. Because I thought he started to bounce back from that even through last year, like fighting and pushing himself through that moment of, man, this is exhausting. All right, this is my life now. Let's keep going. And now he also has a 2.0. He has a restart for himself, a reset, I should say, a reset button for his rookie season. So how he feels coming out of it, and if he feels as well as Ben Simmons does coming off an injury. But how much can you trust a rookie? How much can you trust him in the playoff setting? And will he be getting a tryout coming off the bench? It's Brett Brown. I assume he's going to do this because this has been Brett's MO since he's been here. Since they've been a playoff team, try out those different guys in the 8 games leading up. Or is he just prepping his short bench, his short roster, his short playoff roster during the 8 games to get ready for the actual playoffs?
Yeah. It's going to be very, very interesting to see. It's funny. Somebody asked me about the rookie wall this week. Like, what? That's crazy. Like, what are you talking about? I said, really?
Yeah, right.
I said, think of it this way. Matisse Thybulles, he's lucky because it'll be the span of almost a year that he'll put in a normal NBA season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although it won't be normal because it was 65 plus 8 is only 73 where they should have played 8, whatever it may be. But my point was to the person who was questioning this, I said, he'll play the equivalent of 3 college seasons in less than a year after coming out of college. Like, people just don't understand how tough it is. These kids are used to playing 35 games a year. Now they're coming to the NBA and playing over 90 in 1 year.
Wow.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough. And it's legitimate. That wall, you could have sat me in a locker room while I was covering a team and let me watch players walk in, and I'd say, oh, my God, that's a rookie, and it's the middle of the season. Because they are just, it's like they're done.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens, and the best of them get through it, and the best coaches know how to get them through it. And hopefully, and I think it will happen, that Matisse Thybulle will come back and be the player we saw more towards the beginning of the year than we saw towards the middle.
That's the one thing that I will look at about this restart that I can look at optimistically with really little doubt. It's not like, oh, no, I have rose-colored glasses on. No, it makes sense. Like, having a shutdown at a time he kind of needed a shutdown or needed a break only lends itself to the idea that he will be able to come back and give you some good minutes in the playoffs. Not that I'm trusting a rookie to carry a team or anything.
No.
But just trust a rookie, at least to a guy that's pretty damn good defensively, especially at the start of the year. I think we'll have a good opportunity to come off the bench and give you some good minutes, even in the playoffs.
And defensive players are going to shine through early on. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah,
Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle, because as I said, rust really doesn't come at the defensive end. It comes at the offensive end. So I think these guys will be a step ahead because their defense will already be there.
Yeah, I think you'll also know who was putting in the conditioning and who wasn't.
Yeah.
Because that's something that's really all you have to do. I mean, all you have to do. It's still a big thing. But that's where you know who conditioned and who didn't. Who
sure.
Can keep up defense.
Whose legs are there and can anticipate, can jump out and pass in lanes, whatever it may be.
Yeah, it's all in beat. So hopefully we'll see that hustle and the early goings of everything. But no, I think when you do see Shake Milton in the starting lineup, even with Ben Simmons, I think that's the thing I'm most looking forward to, is seeing that impact and seeing how Brett hopefully figures all that out. And as Jamie mentioned, having all the time, all the downtime to watch tape and see how you can fit these guys together better. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing, is seeing how Shake Milton, like, of all the things here and all the money spent on Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Al Horford, and Tobias Harris, the guy I'm looking forward to, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, it's weird, but the guy I'm looking forward to seeing the most is Shake Milton and the impact on the rest of the starting five. Oh, that's, of all the things, that little chemistry piece, if you will, that little maybe glue piece, if you will, that's what I'm looking forward to, the impact that will have on the rest of the team, on Brett Brown's coaching, on the spacing on the floor, and also having another player on the floor that can be a shooter.
Yeah.
It could be that combo guard for you.
It's funny, I was thinking of this last night, that all the talk has been Ben Simmons is back, how is Joel going to come back, Brett's coaching, as you alluded to, Mark, all of these things. But if we really look deep into it, and the player that we're talking about, oh, somebody has to be that pain in the ass. Could it be Al Horford? Josh Richardson's a guy who I think is pretty good and really didn't play healthy much of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if he can come back healthy and be that under-the-radar type of guy where you're like, oh, man, that's Shake Milton, but even better than Shake Milton. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Josh Richardson could be the real key piece here, like, wow, a healthy him is really good, and it makes things a lot better. I like him. I like him a lot. And all the ways we describe Shake Milton, I think you need another one of that. I think Josh Richardson healthy is that to a better degree.
I hope so. And he'll actually he'll be on the radio station on Monday as part of 7-6 Day
nice.
With Mike Bissonelli. So that's I look forward to hearing him talk about.
Yeah, Monday's going to be fun.
Monday's going to be a fun day. The other thing with Josh, so it's funny. Again, we. He was an acquisition. He was part of the Jimmy Butler trade. But all the money that was spent in the offseason, the guys we're talking about right now,
right.
You got Josh Richardson, I got Shake Milton. Go get him, Sixers. Now, as far as health goes, it's not like I'm down on the Sixers. I just want to see how they play. Right? Is that so hard? Is that too much to ask? Ben Simmons addressed the media yesterday, speaking about Josh Richardson getting healthy. Ben Simmons talked about getting healthy himself from the nerve impingement in his back. Here's what Ben had to say yesterday while addressing the media.
I feel a lot more controlled when I'm out there on the floor, and it just feels very good, and just overall I just feel like I'm back to 100%.
100% for Ben Simmons. So he just confirmed what the head coach said. I don't see any difference in Ben Simmons' game. You have hope that he'll be comfortable with a little bit of a jump shot there. What was the range you gave him, Bob?
I say he's going to make some attempts to shoot from somewhere between 8 to, let's say, 15 feet.
8 to 15 feet!
Yeah. I'll make a bold prediction that in the first game, we're going to see a turnaround jumper from the baseline.
Ooh.
Like a 14, 15 footer. Yeah.
Okay. I will pay for a round of golf. I will pick up a round of golf if that happens in the first game.
Wow.
I will give you a golf bet. All right,
friend? You got it.
Golf bet on that. I don't even have to be there.
We get to pick the course?
Oh, no, I do.
Oh, okay.
Anything under $30. I know two courses.
And we're starting at 6 p.m.
Yeah. I know somebody that might be able to get us on Philly cricket. I'm just saying, you know, that could turn into like a $600 round for you.
Jamie, you can stay out of this. The offer was to Bob.
Okay, all right.
But like, here's the thing with Ben. we talk about guys being
wait,
in shape.
As witness, I get to ride the coattails. That's just how this works.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's I don't golf without Jamie.
Package deal.
He doesn't golf without his pupil. All the people that we can talk about being in shape, I am not, like, it's weird to say this. I think he's, and I agree with you, Bob, I think he's going to be the best player, especially when everything starts out. So it feels weird to say that I have almost the lowest expectations for Ben Simmons. Because I think I know what I'm getting from Ben Simmons. I'm going to get the exact same player he was before he was healthy.
He's steady.
Or before he was hurt. Exactly. He's very consistent. Not a lot of changes.
Yeah, if you say you have low expectations, that sounds negative, and it's not.
It does,
but
yeah.
It's not negative,
right?
With what you're saying, you know what you're going to get is what you're saying.
Yes, you know exactly.
I think we're going to get more.
You think? See,
I really do, especially in this 8-game span before the playoffs. I do. I think it's going to. He's going to be a. He's going to be like a freight train in a slow lane. Like he's going to be the fast car in the slow lane. I think people are going to be trying to find their feet, trying to find their games, and he's going to be zoop, 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 zoop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really do. I think he's going to be that, oh, crap factor.
Because, again, he's so great at the majority of the game of basketball. I mean, he really is. But when it comes to that one thing that every basketball player should do, he doesn't do. And that's the oddity of all this. That's why it's such a gaping hole in his game. But of all the players, I have the least expectations for him. Because
no, that's not the right way to put it, I don't think.
At least excitement, least
because
least
not
worried.
Least expectations, because you expect a lot out of him because he does it all the time. What
yeah,
he does is a lot. 17,
yeah.
8, and 8, that's pretty good, or 18, 8, and 8, that's really good.
Okay, yeah.
So it's not that you don't expect a lot out of him, you don't expect more out of him? Maybe we should put it that way?
I guess I have the less questions about Ben Simmons, the least amount of questions
now,
about
Now that
ben
sounds
Simmons.
More positive.
It does,
right.
I guess.
So you don't have confidence in him?
No.
Not confidence. How should we put that? But you're giving a negative connotation.
Okay, that's not intentional.
All right. So expectations on Ben, you kind of put aside because we know what you have.
You know exactly what you're getting for Ben Simmons.
Okay.
He's going to be an Adonis.
All right, there you go.
He's going to be in shape. His defense is going to be great. His court vision is going to be great. His half court set isn't going to be anything phenomenal. But if Shake Milton's in the lineup, maybe you got a low post scorer all of a sudden in Ben Simmons. So maybe that's one thing I can look at that I have some anticipation for to see how that goes. But when it comes to anything else, I just feel like you look at Ben Simmons and you're like, all right, I know what I'm getting from him. Like I have the least concern. I am least worried about Ben Simmons' game.
There you go.
Bob's giving me the double guns. He's giving me the double bear.
It's like you were sitting at the typewriter. Uh-huh. Or you're sitting at the get to typewriter. You're sitting at the computer.
Jeez,
and
Bobby.
You were trying to write the line for your story and you kept deleting. And it was like, and now you found it.
I was sitting at my chisel stone.
You have the least concerns about Ben Simmons.
I have no worries.
Right.
But I also don't have a greater I don't expect him to come back.
Just let it go there. So period, next sentence,
no,
Mark.
No, because I gotta get
period,
the full
next
story.
Sentence.
No, but there's more to the story.
Next paragraph.
There's more to the story. I want there to be a chapter two to the story. I want there to be, the next paragraph in the column, I guess, Bob, if I'm sitting there at that typewriter. But that's what I don't expect. I just expect to get the all-star. The reasons that he's an all-star are because he does those other things in the game so phenomenally well. There's just that one big, huge, gaping hole.
He's plateaued to you almost for this season.
Plateaued. Yeah, and probably next season as well because there's not going to be a long layoff. This is what Ben Simmons could very well be for the 8 games remaining in the sort of regular season and then the playoffs as well. Next year, I don't see much of a change either, maybe the following year. And then maybe that's pessimistic. But I think of all the Sixers right now, do you have questions about Ben Simmons?
No, I anticipate even a better Ben Simmons than we saw during this. I do. In this fast run that we're going to have, I really have high expectations out of Ben Simmons, more so than his all-star play that he's shown. I think he's going to be even better than that in this little burst that we have of
okay.
the season.
And that's where you and I differ. That's where we disagree. Now, when it comes to Joel Embiid, even Al Horford coming off the bench, I feel like we know what we can get from Al Horford. And I think, again, small sample size, but in the, I think, 6 games that he was starting again when Ben Simmons was out, he played well. he still showed you he can be a productive member of this team, even in the starting five with Joel Embiid. So that was a good thing. It showed me that the spacing wasn't necessarily an Al Horford and Joel Embiid issue as much as it was an Al Horford and Ben Simmons issue, because you can't have literally like three guys 6'9" or taller and that love being around the basket.
Yeah.
That's where Joel Embiid would float away from the basket. That's where Al Horford was on pace to shoot an ungodly amount of threes compared to the rest of his career. That was what was really strange about it. So we'll continue that conversation as the show goes on today. We'll also talk about, we'll get back into the conversation about whether or not baseball players, or baseball in general, should be more open about people that test positive for COVID-19. We have an interesting theory that was thrown our way as to why Major League Baseball wouldn't be releasing those names. And it really doesn't have anything to do with HIPAA laws and a player's right to privacy for testing positive. It has more so to do with just Major League Baseball. It has more to do with business than anything else. 610-632-0975. If you want to get in on the conversation, wide open line for you if you want to get in. A little bit later, we'll give you our Twitter poll question, and we'll try to, set a line for how many minutes Bob might make it through the new movie on Netflix right now. Is it a top 10 on Netflix? I don't even know.
Yeah, it is.
It is a top 10 right now on Netflix?
Yeah.
So Netflix does the top 10 things, and you could, what's in the top 10? Like,
yeah.
Tiger King was top 10 for like a month or whatever.
It still is. I'm kidding. It's not. No, but it was like at that point you go, this has got to be ridiculous. It's BS because everyone's seen Tiger King.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So we'll get into that. Eurovision, the new Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams movie.
I didn't know how new it was. I thought it had been out for like a little while or something.
No, it came out last week.
Was it just last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Pierce Brosnan. Don't forget him.
Oh, yeah.
Oscar-winning performance.
I don't want to ruin I guess it's a cameo.
It's a role.
It's a role. Yeah, I guess.
More than a cameo.
Okay. Demi Lovato's in it. There you go.
Yeah.
Little role, but she's
nice.
Yeah. Nonetheless, we'll set the line of the over-under. And no, maybe we'll reach out to Donna as well.
Yeah, I think we do have to play this game.
We do have to play this game. We'll set the line of how long in the two-hour movie Eurovision.
Should we take bets? A little block pull?
Oh, absolutely. How do you think I'm going to win back my golf money? Anyway, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. We come back, we'll get into this baseball conversation. COVID-19 reportedly rearing its ugly head in Philly's camp, more so than it already has been already. Time of the Fanatic is 642, and you know what? We got to talk to you about our friends Dietz and Watson. Philadelphians know great hoagies. If you want a real Philly hoagie, you got to visit a real Philly deli, and you know that. And there's neighborhood spots around Philadelphia where Dietz and Watson meats and cheeses are served fresh, and they always know your name. These places are some of Philly's best kept secrets, but guess what? The secrets are out. Next time you're hungry, visit realphillydeli.com. That's realphillydeli.com to find a real Philly deli near you. If you want meats and cheeses stuffed, condiment loaded, holy wow, this is delicious, type real Philly hoagies, get the real thing from Dietz and Watson and a real Philly deli. High quality Dietz and Watson meats, premium meats and cheeses, artisan cheeses, absolutely delicious. To find a real Philly deli near you, visit realphillydeli.com. That's realphillydeli.com. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Talking about Euro trip and not Eurovision.
Called Wundersex? Bob probably haven't seen that one, huh?
It says right here, I got a free t-shirt.
Scotty didn't know, nothing.
I actually saw a meme the other day that was, think about it, all kids born today will not know that Scotty didn't know. And I was like, oh my God.